Well, hey there. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes to tune in and listen to a message that I tried to share on a Sunday night. And it was just one of those nights, you know, things just were popping. And so I wasn't really able to share everything that I felt the Lord had given me to share. This was the second part of the message on shame, on overcoming shame. A week before, I had shared using a video by Brené Brown, and that was a pretty powerful message that we saw from Brené. But I wanted to follow up with just some things that the Lord had given me from the Word, and the following Sunday, it just got a little kind of crazy. And here's what's interesting. I'm really kind of getting a sense that I may be doing more of these kinds of videos as a way to share what the Lord's giving me for our tribe. You know, at Heaven's Invasion, we're very serious about living together as the family of God, you know, as a tribe that's pursuing Him, not that He's running away from us or that we're far from Him, but pursuing the things that are important to Him, that He wants for us, and not just simply to kind of, you know, sit back and be complacent. Yeah, that we're not about that at all, as you know. So it's very likely that I'm going to do more of these kinds of videos because I really feel like He's shifting us into a much more Spirit-led, if you can believe it. I mean, we try to be completely Spirit-led now as it is, but I see Him shifting us even more into just basically coming together, getting into His presence, and just seeing what He wants to say, what He wants to do. And in that context, I don't know, there just may not be a time slot or the availability for me to do any kind of you know, detailed teaching or something that would require, you know, a substantial block of time. And you know what? I'm all right with that. Because I know that I can do something like this. I also know that there's so much else out there that, you know, we can take advantage of in the way of material that other people are producing. So anyway, that's kind of, you know, where I'm coming from with regard to this format for sharing from the Word. So I hope it works. I hope it's something that you can get on board with and that we can just really continue our journey, you know, of learning and growing and exploring the things that He's got for us. So again, I wanted to just talk with you about overcoming shame. You know, as I've mentioned, shame is one of the most powerful of the strongholds that we deal with. And, you know, as I think we brought out in the first video, you know, shame is really all about how you see yourself. You know, it's one thing for us to make a mistake, to commit an error, to, you know, sin in some way. We can recognize that we did something that was wrong. Shame, however, takes that wrong, takes maybe the wrongs in plural, you know, in total that we've done, and instead of seeing them as actions that we've done, that we've committed, we now say, I didn't do something wrong. I am wrong. There's something wrong with me. And so we begin to see ourselves as defective and broken and unworthy of any sort, you know, of goodness or positive things from the Lord because of our feeling of shame over, you know, things that we have done wrong. There's no, you know, we're not denying the fact that we've done things that are bad, that are wrong. But the issue is that we don't separate ourselves from the action. We are the action. You know, I did that because I'm wrong, because I'm broken, because there's something wrong with me. And so learning how to overcome that, you know, in the first video we talked about how being vulnerable, being willing to be open about that with folks that you can trust, you know, is a huge step towards getting healing because, you know, we affirm each other, right? We will honor and declare what's true about each other when we're given the chance to do that. But hidden shame can never be dealt with because it's being kept hidden. It needs to be brought into the light, you know, so that we can help each other when we're feeling that way, right? So that whole vulnerability piece that Brené talked about is just huge. So scripturally, what does the Lord really say to us about overcoming shame? Well, there were several points that I wanted to make in this message. The first one is that, as I just said, we've got to confront shame. You know, we cannot continue to keep it hidden. We can't continue to simply hope that it goes away or that we can somehow deal with it on our own. And that doesn't work. It just doesn't. It becomes an entrenched mindset that absolutely affects everything that we say or do in our life going forward. And so Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 gives us some really strong encouragement. The writer here, he writes, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us," he's talking about, you know, those that are in heaven and that can, you know, they must have some really amazing big screens up there because the idea is that, you know, the people that have gone on to be with the Lord, you know, they somehow get to watch what's happening down here. And so he's talking about this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Because of that, let's also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we're being encouraged to look at Jesus. Now, Jesus endured probably, I can't imagine any greater shame than to be someone who absolutely is sinless and innocent, never did a single thing wrong, and yet here he is being brutally crucified, killed, because now he is all of a sudden being saddled with the sin and the punishment for sin of the entire human race, past, present, and future, you know. And so to come from that state of total perfection and to now all of a sudden be so filthy, so dirty, you know, so evil that the Father actually had to turn away from his own Son at that one moment in time when all of the sin of all of humanity was put on Christ. It was at that moment that Jesus cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so Jesus, for the very first time in his existence, experienced what it was like to be separated from his Father. He'd never known that, you know. And so that, oh my gosh, the willingness on his part to endure that kind of sacrifice for us, to be willing to accept that level of shame, you know, that he's being accused and condemned and crucified because now all of a sudden he becomes sin on our behalf. Yet in this scripture, it's so clear that it says that he went and did that. He endured the cross and he despised the shame. He said, you know what? The shame of this is not even close to being worth what is going to be happening because of my sacrifice on the cross. So he minimized the impact, the power of shame in his life. He recognized shame for what it is. It's simply a feeling. It's simply a perception of ourselves, you know, that absolutely has no power unless we give it power. And so here Jesus is saying, you know, I confronted the shame element of my crucifixion and I put it in its proper place. I said, it's not enough to stop me from embracing my purpose, my destiny, what I was sent here for. And that's what the Lord is saying to us as well. Yeah, okay. You've been through some things. You've had some difficulties. You've made some stupid choices. We all do, right? We all have a history. But whatever the consequences may have been of our choices, right, and how that has affected us and whatever shame we have felt over that, what the Lord is saying, look that thing right in the eye and say, I am not going to allow you to control the rest of my life. Because I know that that feeling, that perception of me is ultimately a lie. You know, it's ultimately wrong. It's not who I am. Okay? And if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to confront shame and basically tell it like it is, you know, to that, then you've made the first great step toward freedom from it. And so we go on from there, you know, and a part of this despising of shame is to acknowledge and deal with the fears that we have. Because what is shame doing? Shame is causing us to believe that people are going to reject us, they're going to mock us, they're going to, you know, say things or think things about us that are negative, that are bad. And so because of that, we have difficulty confronting shame, to sharing about it, right? Being vulnerable about it. So you got to confront that. You've got to confront your fears when it comes to dealing with shame. And Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5 says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him, they looked to Jesus, and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. I love that. What an awesome promise to those who allow, if we allow the Lord to deal with our fears, to deliver us from our fears, and again, to put all of that in its place. He says, I'm not going to allow you to stop me from becoming free of this stuff so that I can actually become who Papa says I am, you know, and live out of that reality. And as it says here, this promise is awesome, that when we look to Him, we become radiant. That reminds me of 2 Corinthians 3, right? That when we look as in the mirror at the Lord, we become changed into that same image from glory to glory, and our faces will never be ashamed. I love that. Okay? Another aspect of this is, you know what? You may have to face and accept responsibility for something that you did wrong. You know, the shame over doing something wrong is real because we feel that. But if there's an issue where maybe I haven't made it right, you know, I haven't made it right with someone that I hurt or I offended or I disappointed, I've got to do that. I've got to make that right to the best of my ability. And so that's something that, you know, we have to do in order to be free from shame. You know, I've got to deal with any messes that I've made that I haven't dealt with yet. Because those messes will absolutely stay in place as reminders of what I did. And I'll never be free of that. You know, the Lord wants to free us from the impact of memories concerning the things that we did wrong and the consequences that occurred because of those things. He wants us free from that. And so, If there's something that I need to do, you know, if I need to confess to somebody, ask forgiveness for someone for something that I did, that's a big issue as well that we've got to recognize and be willing to take care of, right? Isaiah 50 verse 7 says, "For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be ashamed." You see, when, again, we're willing to deal with our part of it, the Lord says, I got your back. I absolutely have your back here. And you won't be disgraced, you won't be ashamed if you do what I'm asking you to do to make things right. Okay? And so once we're kind of there, right, we look at shame, recognize it for what it is, as simply a perception about ourselves, a feeling about ourselves. We're willing to deal with the fears that we have concerning actually bringing this shame out to have it dealt with. We're willing to take responsibility for anything that I've done to, you know, create that incident that caused me to have shame. Once I've, you know, worked through those things, now we can move on to the stages of receiving freedom from shame. And here's what it says in Isaiah 61, verses 6 and 7. This prophecy is amazing. This whole prophecy, you know, in this chapter is so powerful. But these two verses really speak clearly to this issue of shame. The Lord says, "You will be called priests of the Lord." Right? What did Peter say? We're a royal priesthood. "You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs." And see, this is what Papa's after for all of us. He has spoken so many awesome and amazing and wonderful things over us as his children, about us as his much-loved sons and daughters. He's spoken these things. He's labeled us in certain ways. He describes us, you know, in these awesome ways. And just a couple of them here, priests, you know, we're those that have complete, free, total access into his throne room 24/7. Never rejected, never pushed away, you know, never stopped. We're welcome always as his sons and daughters. He says, "You are ministers." What does that mean? Well, that's talking about serving people. It's talking about being a representative of God in the lives and circumstances of the people that are around you, that God brings to you. You are qualified to do that, see. And the rewards of that are ours as well. You know, talking about the wealth of nations, the riches, right? The double portion that is ours as sons and daughters. And he contrasts that. He says, no, instead of shame, this is what I have for you. Instead of humiliation, this is what I have for you. And so the idea here, the principle here is so simple. Okay, Papa, I accept what you say about me. I receive it. I believe it. I embrace it. I declare it over myself in agreement with you. That's what he's after. He's after us breaking our agreement with every lie that we've held on to, that we've thought was true about ourselves, that, oh yeah, I'm a failure, there's something wrong with me, I don't deserve anything. Whatever that sounded like in your mind, right, it's time to break your agreement. And for some of us, it can be as simple as making a list. You know, what are those lies that you constantly hear? You know, you're no good. You know, who do you think you are, right? What makes you think you can do X, Y, and Z, okay? Whatever those lies are, you can write them down and you can make a statement of declaration that I, you know, put your name on this day, do hereby cancel my agreement. I renounce my belief in every single one of these statements. They are not true of me. And then you can flip it, make another statement where you now list what you know he has said about you. Many times it's the reverse of whatever those lies were that you were hearing. You just flip them, right? And you can create that document that becomes a memorial. It becomes your way of reminding yourself, this is who I am. Not because I decided it, he decided it. He's the one that says these things about me. And that's a huge step forward, you know, out of shame into a place of healthy life, of a healthy image of ourselves. Why? Because he is the one that knows who we really are, and he tells us, and it's just so awesome. And so from there, we're able to now embrace fully our purpose, our destiny, right? Because we're no longer held back by these false ideas that we can't do it, that we're not qualified, that we don't deserve it. Who do we think we are? All of those nasty negative thoughts, we're dealing with those. We're getting rid of those and replacing them with what He says. And because of that, we're now becoming filled with a sense of the potential that we have in Christ. And let me tell you something, once that starts to get hold of you, the potential that you have in Christ to do what you're called to do what you were designed for, what you were created for, oh man, everything changes. It really does. You wake up in the morning, it's like, I just can't believe that I'm actually able to move into this and start, you know, doing some of these things, and that what God has for me is just so amazing and so, you know, it's almost a dream come true. It is a dream come true, you know. So Isaiah 54, powerful scripture, verses 1 to 5 that really illustrate what the Lord's desires are for us, right, as His sons and daughters. Shout for joy, O barren one, you who have borne no child. Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Doesn't matter how fruitless you feel your life has been, because now that you're coming into agreement with your identity as a son or daughter, what He says about you, He's now declaring over you, whatever you didn't accomplish, I am going to bless your efforts in Christ from this day forward, so that in the end, you will have accomplished more in whatever time left you have in your life. You're going to accomplish more than if you had started from the beginning. I don't understand that. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense from a rational standpoint. But He's saying, you know, if you've been barren, just begin to shout and praise and declare the will of God over your life. And the Lord says, I am going to make your fruit more numerous than someone that did it perhaps the more conventional way. It's like we're being allowed to hook into a supernatural level of productivity and acceleration in this season, you know, that goes beyond what, you know, we might have had access to had we been in this process all along in a more quote-unquote normal way, right? So He goes on in verse 2, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame. And do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced. But you will forget, here it comes, you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your husband is your Maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. Now, there's just so much there. I could probably spend the next few hours unpacking it. But let me just summarize some of the main points here that the Lord is speaking over us even now. He's saying, enlarge the place of your tent. You know what that's all about? That's all about dreaming bigger than you've ever dreamed before. Whatever you've seen as your sphere of influence, as the area in which you feel that you're going to operate, you know, in whatever you do, whatever your creativity, whatever your, you know, your role, your ministry, however you want to describe it, whatever that has looked like to you, God's saying, it's time to enlarge and stretch out and begin to go so far beyond what you thought, and to allow God to show that to you. I tell people all the time, if when you look at the vision for your life, the dream that you hold, if it doesn't scare you, you haven't seen it. You have not seen what He really wants you to see. So you have permission to dream bigger than you've ever dreamt before, to look for something that is so, so big and huge that you sit there and go, how in the world am I ever going to do that? You know, it has to look like that because it's not meant for us, right? We're not meant to do it in our own strength. We have to be partnered with him and his supernatural abilities. So that's what that's all about. You know, and he talks about how, you know, we will spread abroad to the right and left. What is that talking about? An increasing sphere of influence that we will have, and how we're going to actually have authority in nations, and to do something about the desolate and dry and places that have been broken down because the enemy had control there. We're going to do something about that as sons and daughters. We're actually going to bring the values and the power of heaven to bear on some of these areas that have been lying desolate under the cruel tyranny of the enemy, right? I mean, this stuff is just mind-blowing when you really start to think about it and meditate on it, right? But then you get into verses 4 and 5 where he basically is declaring again over us, there's no shame, there's no humiliation, there's no disgrace. He is saying to you and I that when we, you know, when we partner with him and come into agreement with him concerning what he says about us, that it will cause us to actually forget the shame of our youth. Whatever things we did that caused us shame, he's promising here, come into agreement with me. Let me fill you with who you really are in Christ, what I say about you, which is really the only opinion that matters, right? Let me fill you with that so that you'll never even think about the shame of your youth anymore. It'll be like, you know, like someone else's life. And I can honestly tell you that I've experienced that over things, you know, mistakes that I've made in my youth that had he not done that, I would still feel some measure of shame over those things. But it's like I look at that now, and it's like it seems literally like it was someone else. It was another person's life. And that's how thoroughly he has transformed me by his grace. And I know he'll do the same for you as well, right? And so understanding that this is his desire for every one of his kids to be completely set free from shame and all of its influences, all of its effects. I pray today for you that you will engage him in this process, that you will be willing to step through whatever it is that's necessary so that you can become free of shame and you can actually stand as a fully mature son or daughter of the King, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what he has called you for and what he's created you to do, and you'll be able to step confidently into that with joy. That's, you know, it says, oh my gosh, you know, the joy factor here is just amazing. And that's what he wants for us. So I pray this has been helpful. Feel free to reach out to me by email or Facebook. I'd love to hear any of your questions or comments about what the Lord is saying here. And I look forward to doing this again. Actually, I think I have another message that I didn't get to share fully that I'll be recording shortly. So be back with you on that at some point soon in the future. Meanwhile, be blessed. Hope to see many of you at Heaven's Invasion whenever you're able to come out. And we'll see you then. Have a great day.